This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Pure democracy is a New England tradition with citizens making decisions in small town hall meetings. But right now in the state of Maine, some communities are giving up on self-government. Others want even more independence. We're going to have reports today and tomorrow. And we'll begin in the small islands just off the coast of Maine, which want to break from the mainland towns that govern them. Here's NPR's Howard Berkus.
Wherever there's waterfront in Maine, at inland lakes, coastal beaches, or this rocky island shore, downstaters and out-of-staters are paying big money for views of the water. Mark Green is a retired teacher here on Long Island in Casco Bay near Portland.
You're talking about houses going from $2,000 or $3,000 in actual taxes paid per year to $10,000 or $12,000 a year. I mean, for any normal family, a $10,000 increase in their carrying costs for 1 year, it would drive out all but those with a lot of money.
Property taxes have some people in Maine rethinking self-government. They have some islands considering secession from the mainland city or suburb that tax, school, and rule them. Water isn't the only divide anymore. As the crew signals an all clear, a morning ferry for Chabig Island pulls away from its mainland dock. Island mechanic Dave Stevens is among the passengers.
The actual separation, it just makes people on the island look at things differently.
350 people live on Chabig Island year-round. They share government taxes and schools with 7,000 suburbanites in the mainland town of Cumberland. It's a link that goes back 200 years, but a lot's changed.
We used to be farmers and fishermen, mainland farmers, island fishermen.
Mabel Dowdy describes herself as a lobsterman. She's been a Chabiger for 60 years.
Mainland is so professional. We don't have that much in common anymore. And they have no knowledge or interest in what the island is about.
Dowdy sits at her kitchen table with mechanic Dave Stevens and Beverly Johnson, the island plumber. A window frames them, which looks out on Bennett's Cove, where waves wash across weathered rocks, chocolate brown and smooth.
There is a large amount of money that is paid in taxes that does not come back and benefit us.
And back 2 years ago when they, without even talking to anybody on the island, decided it would be good to have an LNG facility right beside us, liquid natural gas regasification plant, tankers would be coming in through our fishing grounds, 10 miles from them, but 1,000 yards from us. And then the school issues come up.
We could make a sentence.
Shop.
The frog jumped over the
log.
Excellent.
And that rhymes too.
At the Chabig Island School, a teacher's aide reviews OG words in one classroom while math is taught in another. There are 25 students in all, in a small white building perched in an island clearing. Last year, the mainland-based school district proposed eliminating the island's fourth and fifth grades. Older students already ride the ferry to mainland schools, but that's not safe for the younger ones, says retiree Roy Jackson, who joins the crowd at the island market for morning coffee and donuts.
You rode over on the boat this morning, and that's no place for unattended little fellas. You know, common sense says you don't do that, but the school district wants to put the little guys on the boat and let them fare for themselves and wait on the piers, and we know better than put little kids on the boat.
Islanders also worry that sending fourth and fifth graders to the mainland leaves so few kids behind that closing the island school could be next. Dave Stevens.
If that happens, we'll lose our community that everybody here just, you know, cherishes. And it'll turn into a summer community. We're just not about to let that happen. You can probably see a little fear in my eyes because we're all very scared.
Chabigers see salvation in secession, based on the experience of Long Island, which left the city of Portland a decade ago.
I'm going with Mommy.
On the playground at the Long Island School, kids and parents shoot baskets after a soccer game. Their 800-acre island, thickly wooded and framed by rocky shores, is 45 minutes by ferry from Portland. And it's independent now, with its own school, its own town government, and its own tax assessment.
A waterfront piece of property with a present property tax of $3,700. If we were part of Portland, it would be around $14,400.
Retired school teacher Mark Green says Long Islanders save so much because they're now paying the actual costs of governing. 200 Islanders no longer pay taxes that go to 70,000 urbanites in Portland. But Green insists there's more to secession than money, as he stands in the island's new library with town treasurer Nancy Jordan.
I can remember years and years when I lived on Beach Avenue here, there was a big rock in the middle of the road on the hill by the church. And the people who worked for the city road kept saying, "Oh, that rock can't come out. You can't get that rock out. That rock's not coming out." Year one, our first road guy went over with a pick and a shovel and took the stupid rock out.
Yeah.
And they used to tell us, "You can't do this stuff."
You know, we were a very small rural group of people who had no idea we could do anything. We didn't realize the power that we had and the things that a small group of people could do if they put their hearts and their heads to it and got organized.
Long Islanders had some legitimate complaints, admits Gary Wood, Portland city attorney. He says the city did not suffer financially when Long Island broke away, but something was lost.
You are better off as a community trying to have a mixture of different needs expressed and met than you are letting individual components of a community simply break off because they don't like the way a particular issue has been addressed. That's not the essence of democracy. When you just say, "You just go your way and we will go ours," that seems to me to be directly contradictory to the whole idea of why you have a community to start with.
That's echoed in Cumberland, where town manager Bill Shane says he understands the passion for self-government. He'll even help Shebeagers, he says, if they decide to secede. But Shane adds this: pure democracy is a lot of work.
I don't know if the year-round population on the island has the core group of people to pull this off, because the committees that are formed on the island, it's always the same. 10% of the population does 99.9% of the work. And, you know, how many people can be the selectmen, the planning board? Financially, they could pull it off, but it's not easy.
Shebeagers share that concern. It gives mechanic Dave Stevens pause as he sits at Mabel Dowdy's kitchen window, gazing out at Bennett's Cove.
That type of government really gives people a say in what happens, and it connects them to their government. It gets people involved. This is the way it was meant to be. Being able to participate in that true form of democracy.
Secession won't be easy. Both the town of Cumberland and the Maine legislature must approve. It's also in stark contrast to another trend in Maine. Rural inland towns, also struggling with taxes, are abandoning self-government. More on that tomorrow. Howard Berkus, NPR News.
You can visit the Maine islands of Long and Shebeague and learn more about secession on our website, npr.org.